is the Genuine Humans podcast, brought to you by Social Element. I'm Tamara Littleton.
And I'm Wendy Christie.
In our podcast, we'll discover the stories of the leaders behind the brands and the trailblazers who are making a real difference in our industry. We'll delve into how they got to where they are today.
And we'll hear about the genuine humans who supported and influenced them along the way.
Welcome back to Genuine Humans. I'm here with my co-host, Wendy Christie. Wendy, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I'm feeling, well, I was about to say the joys of spring. I think I'm the joys of pretending it's spring.
It's not quite spring. We're in fool's spring.
It's that optimism that's coming through. We're also so happy today to welcome a very special Genuine Human guest, Aretha Sebang, who's joining us today from New York. And Aretha is Director of Marketing at Garnier at L'Oreal. We're so pleased that you're joining us today, Aretha. Welcome to Genuine Humans.
Thank you so much. I'm super thrilled to be here today. When I hit the title, Genuine Humans, and I listened to a few other podcasts, I'm like, this is for big people. Why do they want to talk to me?
Of course we want to talk to you.
So I'm genuinely humbled to be here today.
Well, that's we're so pleased to have you. And what we're going to do is kick off with something that we do like to ask our guests, which is, obviously, you've got to where you are now. I'd love to know, what was the journey to getting where you are now, and how did you get into marketing in the first place?
I love telling this story. Growing up, I've had things I wanted to be. And then I finally settled on being an engineer because my parents wanted me to do medicine. It's a thing where I grew up from. If you are good at science, the maths, then you should definitely go into medicine. And I genuinely don't think that's for me. So I had to find something else that I was interested in. And I landed on engineering, and I fell in love. I got my engineering degree in chemical engineering, and then I started my career as a chemical and processing engineer in a beauty manufacturing company in Ghana called PZ Cousins. In Ghana, you have to serve for a year. We call it national service. Once you finish your university education, you need to do 1 year of national service. Now, this is also a very brilliant system because it also gives opportunities for people fresh out of college to have hands-on experience. During my national service period, the company for the first time started a management training program. I went there as a process engineer. I was in the factory of over 200 males and there were only two females. So myself and the executive assistant to the factory manager, who was amazing, by the way. That had a very significant impact on how my career progressed since then, because right from the get-go, I was put in what you would call an impossible situation. First, being the only female and the youngest amongst men, trying to tell them what to do was not easy. You know, most of them saw me as a daughter or as a niece or as a kid sister. Nobody like saw me coming from a place of having the knowledge to guide them to do what they're doing, because some of them had been doing what they've been doing for 20 years plus. So they're like, oh, you know, these younglings come from the university and they think they know everything kind of mindset. But I will be happy to share that with intentionality, I won some hearts and my job started to become a bit more easier. So I would say right from the get-go, I had to always find a way to fit within the space that I was put in. Back to the management training, when they kicked off the management training program, they enrolled some of national service persons, which I was one of, onto the program, and we were trying to find people from different parts of the business. So sales, marketing, finance, HR, R&I, production. And fortunately for me, I was the only one in production. And so I got on to the management training program. We kicked off the management training program and it was rotational. So we had to rotate through all the departments because the goal of the management training program was to develop the next crop of MDs, head of marketing, CEOs, COOs. We kicked off, and for me, it was exciting because I'm always happy to try something new. And that was when I started to get out of the factory and I discovered marketing through that. I realized that even more than being an engineer and being in a factory and wearing boots and factory coats every single day, I loved talking to people. Whenever we had a marketing assignment, I would go above and beyond. At this point, I had not even thought of a career in marketing because how our system is structured in Ghana, I don't know if it has changed because I've been out of university pushing 20 years now, is either you read sciences or you read what we call humanities. So sciences, as you know, would be your biology, physics, chemistry, or you read economics, history, art. In all my education, I was a science student, so I was absolutely clueless what was happening on the other side of the world, right? I didn't know it was as exciting. I had no idea. So when I was introduced to the world of marketing, I started discovering that there is something that brings me more joy than being a chemical engineer. So I would attack all my marketing assignments with so much heart, so much passion, so much dedication. This was a very intensive program. It was like a whole MBA. Yeah. You will go to the field and you will do a presentation to senior management and suggest, one, what is going well, two, what can be improved, i.e. opportunities, and three, what crazy ideas do you have? Innovate. You have a white paper. What do you think we can do to win in this space? And it was an amazing experience. So after my marketing presentation, after one of such rotations, I can vividly recall the scene when I was just coming down the staircase to go to my factory. The commercial director at the time meets me on top of the staircase, and he goes, "Do you know you have such a good flair for marketing, and you really, you come with new perspectives all the time, and you really present well, and you really put your all in it. I just wanted to commend you and congratulate you for doing this to the best of your ability." And I was like, "Oh, thank you." And he's like, hey, here's a crazy thought. Do you want to try a role in marketing?"
I love that.
Just like that.
Yeah. Well, that's testament to those programs as well, isn't it? That they, give you the opportunity and you took it.
Exactly. And right there and then I was like, yes. I mean, to be honest, till today, it's one of the decisions I've just made out of a whim. And it's just, I came from a place of passion and oh yeah, I would love to do more if you would give me, I didn't go back to think in 20 years, this is how my career is going to evolve. It was just purely intuitive and purely through my love for the role. So, but what I didn't consider, and that's why I gave you the feedback of the science versus the humanities, was that marketing was purely humanities and chemical engineering was purely science. So that was my first big hurdle in my career. Another one where I had to find the way around learning the humanity side of what my education didn't give me. Mm-hmm. So I had to go deep into economics, pricing, marketing strategies. I was clueless, absolutely clueless. I had to learn everything from ground zero. I have to do extra than everybody. So after doing my job or doing what I was told to do, I had to take the time and put in extra hours to also understand the background. What do the people who do marketing very well have? Because I cannot just come in with passion and innovation. I also need the tactical and the technicality of doing the job as well.
Yeah, learning on the job.
Learning on the job. That's how my marketing career kicked off. And it was beautiful. I mean, once I got a hold of a job, we were coming up with crazy ideas, executing. And one thing I loved about marketing was where I spent almost a year in a factory compared to 6 months in marketing, I had traveled to almost all the regions in Ghana, which otherwise I would never have, it would never have happened. And this is when I discovered that I love to travel, because back when I was in university, the UK government, you know, we're Commonwealth. So the UK government will give like visa to students to come for like a summer in the UK. At the time, I had a friend of mine's parents who were like willing to host me. I had to get my own visa. I had to get my own ticket and basically figure everything out myself. To get visa in Ghana before it, because of all the paperwork, so you would get an agent to fill the visa forms for you to ensure that you're doing it right. And my dad was like, I'm not going to pay anybody to fill a form for you when I pay for your education. So go figure it out. If you get the visa, we can talk about plane ticket. So I literally just went to the embassy. I picked up my forms. Those days, it wasn't electronic. You had to go in person, pick up paper. I remember the lady who gave me the form. She's like, oh, who's your agent? I'm like, I don't have one. And I'm really tiny, 19-year-old girl. Who has come to? And she's like, okay. I mean, I'm here to give you the form, so take it. I took the forms. I remember running around everywhere, asking questions, how to fill it, how to get it right. I did everything myself. I had two other friends who had an agent, and I was so jealous. So I went through it myself. I submitted, and I submitted with my friends that day with their agents looking so cool and bougie. And here I am with my brown paper. The lady takes it, checks everything, and she's like, okay, go, thank you. Here is the twist. I'm the only one that got the visa.
No. You were better than the agents.
That would be like the first time I traveled outside of Ghana when I was, I think, my first or second year in a university, because I wasn't expecting it. So I wasn't really prepared, right? And so at that time, when I traveled to the UK, I discovered so many things. I was like, wow, like things are so different on the other side of the world, because I have lived in my bubble for so long. So for me, that was the first step. And so when I went into marketing, bringing it back to my career, and I started traveling, I realized that I love discovering people. I love discovering places. I love discovering new food and cultures. And I haven't been doing it because it hasn't been something that I have been exposed to in the past. So when I joined marketing and I started to travel, I loved it. And I put in my all. I kept pouring in, and I was like, ah, this is a fun role. And other people are like, are you crazy? You are everywhere all the time. You're a young woman. You would have to get married one day. No one wants a woman who's all over the place. No one wants a woman who always has an opinion. No one wants a woman who is not always cooking. You're never going to find anyone. And I always used to joke and say, oh, yeah, it's true. I'm never going to find anyone. Someone is going to find me. So it's that person's problem, not mine. I'm going to go on and give it my all.
You do you.
In as much as I was enjoying this role, I was still very young and I was still growing. And at the time, oil was discovered in Ghana, like petroleum oil. And there weren't enough petroleum engineers. So they were leveraging chemical engineers because it was very adjacent. And I got a lot of pressure from like family, friends. Oh, there's this opportunity in oil and gas. You should definitely take it. At this time, I was really settled in marketing and I loved what I was doing. But also, here's the thing. I know we have evolved, but in the past, even my dad thought that marketing was like going to the market and selling. Mm-hmm. They didn't understand the whole strategy and execution behind marketing and how innovative you need to be to survive in this space that is super dynamic. So I felt the pressure, and then I took a job in oil and gas, which was a hybrid. It was like a account management in oil and gas. So I can put together my chemical engineering and my marketing experience. So I took the job and I left PZ. Sadly, it was so tough for me because I had a lot of support in that role. And looking back, I have no regrets. Looking back, I was on the right trajectory within the business, but I felt so much pressure. And when I discovered how much money oil and gas was paying, I was like, sign me up.
Yeah. Sometimes you just have to make choices at certain points in your career, don't you?
So I left. I made dollars. It was a lot of money. I didn't know what to do as a young child that lived alone. I had no responsibility. You can just imagine how much fun I had.
Best life.
It felt so good to have money. I was like, oh, this is how it feels like not to plan for your next purchase. Okay. I did not know that. So I left. And the way I left PZ was so shady. I say because the senior management was so good to me, I didn't know how to leave. And so I waited for the MD to go on his vacation. And then I sent my email and I ran.
We'll make interesting choices, don't we?
Again, still a child at this point, still, you know, yes, trying.
Everything's forgivable.
Everything is forgivable. Oh, I know. I met the MD. We're still in touch, by the way, just so you know.
Yeah.
We still have a very good relationship. And so I ran and I went to this consultancy and I ran account management for them. And I was deeply frustrated. That aside, I felt like there wasn't enough growth opportunities for me and any room for me to expand. That was the first thing I noticed just in my first month. And then in my second month, the account we had, which was based in Aberdeen, wanted a chemical engineer. So there was not a lot of pressure, but everywhere I turned, it was like, oh, you need to take this job. You can go on the rig. We will train you. And because I knew it wasn't what I wanted, I wasn't playing ball, basically. And because I wasn't playing ball, it was like the conversation kept coming up consistently. And I was like, this is what I want to do. I want to do marketing. Leave me to do my account management stuff. I want to travel. I want to see the world. I want to meet people. I cannot be away from everyone for 3 months. After the third month, I was like, no, I need to get out. Because One thing I always commend my mother for is her ability to guide you in making the right choice when you go to her conflicted. My mom said, you're young now and you can course correct more than when you get older. So what she told me was, if you want to course correct, then you need to sit down and decide what you want, what drives you. This is the time you can work for passion, because when you start having kids, it's not passion that will drive you. It is the money that will drive you. So decide now where you want to go. And so I decided and I thought, I really, really want to do marketing. And as serendipity would have it, within that same week, I got a call from a local manufacturing company. And then they set up an interview. I left the consultancy for oil and gas and I took a pay cut. And this is the last time I would ever do that. And I came back to marketing. I would never take a pay cut now because I have kids, right? Before I didn't. Mm-hmm. So I could hustle my way through. But when I came back, I felt so fulfilled, even with like less money. And I had to match my lifestyle to what I was earning and still stay within my goals because I have big goals. And then I came back to the local manufacturing company and I worked there for 2 years. Amazing people. I have been blessed with working with amazing people through my career. I am not going to take all the credit. I would say it's because people really are open to helping and teaching me. I worked there for 2 years. And one day on my way back home from work, I got a call and a lady says, hi, we're recruiting for L'Oreal and your name came up, so I'm calling to set up an interview. And my first instinct was, I'm okay where I'm at, so I'm not looking to change jobs. And she's like, oh, but let's set up the interview and then we'll go from there. And I was like, okay. So I came back, I told my friend, and she's like, are you crazy? You love beauty. Like, you work in, you live for beauty. I, in addition to like my chemical engineering career, one of the careers that I wanted to be when growing up was like a beautician, because I will braid your hair, I will do your nails, I'll do your makeup. I love doing that. Like, you love beauty. L'Oreal is the giant. You better pick up the phone and call this lady now before I call her for you, because you're going to take that interview, whether you want the job or not. And I'm super grateful to her for pushing me. And so I called her back. We set up the interview, went for the interview, and I basically got a job at L'Oreal.
Thank you for sharing that. That is a great story of kind of right how you've got to where you are now.
I love that. And I love how different things could have been. You could have been on a freezing cold oil rig in the North Sea for 3 months at a time. I'm sure there are no regrets. Thank you for that. So let's go a little bit further back, if you don't mind, Aretha. And
I don't.
Talk about your childhood and how those experiences and your environment may have influenced where you've got to now. So what were you like as a child?
I mean, if you ask my mother, she would shake her head all the way. Because I think as a child, I never conformed to the status quo. And that came across a bit as a rebellion. And so I think my mom just didn't know what to do with me. Because just to give you a bit of a background, I come from a deeply blended family. And if I say a deeply blended family, my mom had three kids. My dad had three kids. They came together. And then they had me and my kid brother. So I'm at the point where I have like brothers and sisters from either side. And then we come together to form this family. I will give my mom a big kudos because growing up, I have realized that it wasn't easy what she did when we were younger, bringing everyone together. I would say her husband, kids, her own kids that her husband didn't father, and then kids that her husband fathered and brought all of us together under one roof. I am the seventh child. So as the seventh child, you can understand that by the time everything trickled to me, I think by the time my mom got to me, she was already tired from the six others. So that gave me room to be who I wanted to be and to also push back on the status quo. One of the examples I'll give you is like everyone back in the day, and I'll keep referencing back in the day because I know we have evolved a lot as a people. Back in the day, you would train your girl child to be prepared for marriage, right? And I would always say, why are you not training your boy child to be prepared for marriage? Because marriage is not just between, now you can marry who you want. So if it's between two women, then hip hip hooray. But if it's between a man and a woman, then how is he not trained and I'm trained? They would push me to cook all the time and I'll tell them I'm going to marry a chef. She would tell me, like, for example, I told you we lived in one city and I lived in another city. It was a 5-hour drive on a very lonely road. It's a major city. So it's like a highway connecting two cities. And my mom will tell me point blank, do not drive from Accra to Kumasi when you're coming to visit. Take the bus. And she will just be like chilling one evening cooking and I'll just pull up, beep, beep. And she will start crying. She's like, you're going to kill me one day. How do you drive on this road? And at times it's like 1 a.m., 2 a.m. and I'm driving alone on this road. And she's like, stop. It's dangerous. So I, as a child, I feel like I did give my parents a lot to think about. And at times I feel like they didn't just know what to do with me. It's not because I was a difficult child or disobedient or any of that. I was actually, I would conform when the rules made sense, but I always like questioned when I did not understand what was going on. And it was like a foreign concept to my parents because they had other grown-up kids and I was very stubborn. I will go get it. If I don't get what I want, I am negotiating. I am bringing you new proposals. Like, I'm not backing down. Because I felt like with my position, I had to go the extra mile to kind of be heard. But at the same time, being in that position also, you know, gave me the room to be daddy's girl. Because my daddy was very strict on my other siblings. But when I grew up, we started building an amazing relationship. Because, you know, I think at some point, I don't know. I think at some point they had a meeting and they said, let's give her room and let's see what happens. Let's see if we can buy back some peace of mind. So I would say that's like, you know, how I was as a child. I was a why kid. Like everything, I was like, why? And my kids do it to me. And I want to like, come on.
Was that how you were at school as well?
Yes, I was very curious. I was very curious. I wanted to explore a lot. I would raise up my hand all the time. And even till today, I'm always happy to raise up my hand. I'm happy to be part of a solution, if not a solution, if I can. If I am able to, I'm happy to raise up my hand. And in school, I was super curious. I will ask all the questions. I think it was evident in, like, you know, how I learned. I'm a very interactive learner and I talk a lot. I'm sure you've noticed that by now. I introduced myself for 30 minutes. I was highly experimental and curious. And that's how I landed at engineering, because I remember one time I took my dad's radio and I broke it apart because I wanted to see what was inside. So he gave me like the space as well. I mean, out of the frustration to be like whatever I wanted to explore. And I was never afraid to try something new and stand out. I was never, like, as a child.
And as you, it's a sort of thing, coming back more up to date, it's probably through kind of university and early career and later career. Have there been genuine humans who you've come across who've really supported you or encouraged you or influenced you over the years?
Oh, my God. It takes a village. It takes a village. Again, I have in no way arrived at where I want to be and the kind of goal I have set for myself. When I tell people I am still at ground zero, they're like, what do you want to do? I'm like, I'm not going to share that with you because you're going to say I'm crazy. But from my childhood and from where I grew up and from where I'm coming from and the opportunities I have come a certain distance. And there have been truly genuine humans who have helped me get there. And I cannot mention everybody's name. I cannot call out everyone. I mean, let me start by saying, if you and I have had any encounter and you know yourself, because I try to be very appreciative of people and I let them know what they have done for me. If we have, and I do not call out your name, forgive me, you're still genuine. I still love you. And I still appreciate everything you did for me in my life. I think the first genuine human I will definitely call out, or genuine humans, would be my family. They are so supportive. And my mom, whom I look up to a lot, that woman is a force. She was everything. And you can tell she genuinely was there for everyone as much as she could be there for everyone. And she wasn't the kind of mom to tell you what to do, but she will guide you through where you need to land so you feel like it was your decision. My mom, my dad, my siblings, all of them, genuine humans. We keep saying our family is an open family. We accept everyone. I have given birth to 2 kids, but I have 3 kids. Because my third child, who happens to be my first child, said, I love your family so much. I just want to be your child, when she was supposed to come work for me. I couldn't officially adopt her, but everyone knows I have 3 kids. Actually, it's her birthday today. And I absolutely love her and she loves our family. And it's because she entered this family where everyone was genuine about, like, our feelings. We fight a lot. My husband would say, Christmas in your house is a movie. I love it. Let's go again. So that is where I'll start from. And then also, if I come to my own family, one absolute, like, genuine human who has impacted my life, like, beyond comprehension, is my husband. I want to build a family and build my career. Those are 2 impossible things to do, and I'm trying to do this at the same time. And my husband, he understands. He genuinely supports me without question. We understand each other, which, by the way, you remember when they were like, oh, you're not gonna find anyone? Someone found me.
He found you.
And it's been the best. We celebrated our 10th wedding anniversary this year. And
congratulations.
Thank you so much. And again, I'm not saying we're perfect. We fight. We go through all of that. So he's very genuine. And then kicking off, like, from my career, I would like to call out the MD and the commercial director who actually gave me my first shot in marketing. It was Jim Jackson. Hi, and Angelos Collias. They, genuine humans, they gave me an opportunity and a follow through to make sure that I succeed in that opportunity. I would say I worked with so many amazing and incredible people. One of such is the HRD who took care of the program when I started my career. His name is Sigismond and he's late. And so may he rest in peace. They, all these guys, like they ensured that I got like the boost I need to kick off. And then also the team in my second manufacturing job, his name is Tanal Gandu. And then coming back to like in Ghana, for L'Oreal, it was a lady I worked with in PZ Cassins who got an opportunity in L'Oreal. And when we're looking for brand managers, she was like, you definitely need to speak to Aretha. She is the one that put my name forward. And I got a call from Paris. And her name is Shirley Akwa-Harrison. Shirley! We have separated now, but she was a big sister. She was a big sister and she really also did support me throughout my journey. The person who recruited me finally to L'Oreal, his name is Christian Yasa. He was just the best. The interview was one of the most fun interviews I had been on. We had so much fun at the interview. We launched so many products. We did so many marketing plans and strategies. And then I remember when I got up to leave, he's like, you know what? I'm going to talk to HR. I think you got the job. And that was like one of my most iconic moments in interview. And then throughout my journey, you know, we had an executive MD whose name was Jean-Dominique de Ravignan. He's French, amazing. He was the one that gave me my first opportunity to launch Maybelline in Ghana. I did launch Maybelline in Ghana. It was, the category didn't exist. He gave me the opportunity to build that category from ground up for 5 years. The day I took on that challenge, I found out I was pregnant 8 weeks later from the day I took on that challenge. So throughout the journey, I was having a baby. I actually had my baby within a month of officially launching Maybelline. So when I look at my daughter, I'm like, oh, it's been 10 years. And it was Jean-Dominique who gave me that mandate and supported me because, mind you, once he gave me that mandate, I became a new mom and he still supported me and I did not lose anything, even taking a chance to like have a baby. And also within L'Oreal, there was like finance director who made it her mission when I started growing and I started moving into more general manager roles. She made it her mission to educate me on finance. She would take me in her office and she would show me how to manage a P&L, what to look out for, where my inclusion is, what's SG&A, how do you manage this, how the business functions, how do we interface with Paris, everything. Her name is Irene and she used to call me crazy Aretha. She's like, you're so crazy. Like, you do anything. You're crazy. She is in L'Oreal UK now. There's one gentleman that I'm also super grateful for. And even though he's left our group, he still till today remain my biggest coach. His name is Sekou Koulibaly. And this is the gentleman who became MD later in Ghana. And when I started working with him, he kept telling me, you need to be expatriated. You have to be expatriated. Mm-hmm. You have what it takes. And he saw it. And he's like, I'm going to help you network. I'm going to help you set up meetings. I'm going to help you. He did. And he connected me to the right people. And so again, it takes a village. I can never claim that I did this on my own. And that's why I met Virginie Diaz-Tagnon, the HR director, who set up the interview for me in South Africa. And then my boss, Noah Young-Hing, not only did she not become my manager, but she also became a very strong support system. She's like, you're here, we'll support you. Again, I keep saying I have been more than blessed to have so many genuine humans. My village is so strong and so healthy and so positive. They always support me to get to the top. In South Africa, I also want to say another genuine human is the HR director who helped me process me out of South Africa to the US. Her name is Patricia Bakay. Oh my God. The cutest HR you've ever seen in your life. She's so pretty and so warm. And the first time I met her, I'm like, oh my God, you're so motherly. Even her hugs feel different. Like, it doesn't feel like office hug. It feels like home hug, you know. She's here. She's intentional. She's present. She's looking out for you. She guided me and she was just amazing. So I would like to shout her out as well. And then the team who were receiving me in the US. Hello, Jessica Verges, Dom Pagnanelli. Amazing. My current HR, Matthias, they have been super amazing. My current managers, Ali Faki And Yaritza, Caravello, they're so amazing. We have so much fun. And I always say that and everybody spends the good part of the day at work. So it should be a place where you feel your best and then you can give your best. And globally, I have really genuine people also following me and helping me and supporting my career. We have a global HRD for CPD, our division. Her name is Ava Azule. I appreciate that woman so much. She has such a huge position. You would think she would not know you by name. Again, very intentional, very present, very there. And then my most favorite person of all, yeah, his name is Jean-Claude Legrand. He was voted one of the most influential leaders on LinkedIn last year. And I doubled the votes from the person who came in second. I was like, this is a true representation of how intentional this man is about every single talent. And mind you, he's managing over 80,000 talents across the world.
Wow.
And everyone feels seen. Imagine like the type of capacity and influence and intentionality you must have to do that. So these are some of like the genuine humans. And outside of my career, there are people who have helped me that have really impacted my journey, like my friend Michelle in the US. She is a professor at NYU. And her husband, Henoch. Henoch is my unofficial career coach in navigating corporate US. And he's amazing at that. It's been super amazing. And I cannot not mention Lynn, your own Lynn Frost.
Oh, Lynn Frost is just
God.
Superb.
I have known Lynn for less than 3 months and or four, I think. And the amount of impact she has had in my life feels like someone I have known like forever. I mean, I can go on and on. And again, I intentionally did not mention any names in my family because I don't want to fight later. Like, why didn't you mention my name?
Well, you have to promise me that when this podcast goes out, that you're going to tag
everybody. I'm
going to
tag every single one.
What a roll call.
I'm going to tag every single one because I want to take this opportunity to express my heartfelt and deepest thanks to these people, because it truly takes a village, and I am truly grateful that they are in my village and they are driving me. There are some of them who challenge me when I feel like I have arrived. They're like, no, you just turn on the ignition. What do you mean? Keep going. And I need that. I need the ones who are correcting me in love, the ones who are correcting me with an iron fist. I need all that. And it's just, you know, a buffet of that makes my experience tread in the right trajectory. And I'm truly appreciative of everyone.
That's incredible. What an incredible crew around you. And because obviously the podcast is Genuine Humans, we're going to get to this stage now where we're going to go fast, quick fire questions, because we just want to uncover. I feel like we've got to know you so well already, but let's just try and get to know you just a tiny bit more. Wendy, do you want to kick off with the first question?
I would love to. So what's your idea of a perfect weekend?
Spending time with my family. The bigger, the better. I want everyone here. I always wanted a big house so everyone can come in on a Saturday. We chill, we cook, we eat, we fight, we drink. That's my ideal weekend.
Love it. How would your friends describe you?
Oh my God. Can I read?
Please.
Yes,
please,
you can. Yes. So you went out and asked people, didn't you?
I did. And you know, I came back to you and I said, this is purely therapeutic.
It's so therapeutic.
Just as you said. So I'm going to read and I'm going to go really fast here. I'm opening it now because I want to read it verbatim and mm-hmm. I don't want to miss a word. So I sent it to, and I chose three of my friends, including my husband. And I want to read it quickly because he's my friend too. And I wanted to know what he thought of me. So the first one is Siobhan, whom I worked with, and we became friends. And I'm just going to read quickly. I asked him, you know, please tell me how you describe me. Please be candid. And in 3 seconds, literally, he writes, the powerful potion you never knew you needed in your life, an addictive force, a soldier, an undeniably phenomenal woman. I've learned the most impactful lessons in my career from you. When I say you're my sister, I don't say it lightly. I have worked with others 10 times longer, and I've worked with you, and they haven't even been as 5% as impactful as you have been. My jaw dropped.
That's incredible, isn't it?
And that is why I was like, I'm going to read this verbatim. So you remember I told you about one of my genuine humans, Michelle, who is the professor at NYU. I reached out to her and she goes, wait, I need to go home and send you a whole thesis. Because I cannot type whilst I'm working. And literally she sends it on a Saturday and she goes, you're someone who loves deeply and shows it with real tangible actions. You make sure that people in your life feel seen, valued and supported, and always, always in capital letters, show up when your friends need you the most. Girl, you live so boldly, you refuse to live life small. When you walk into a room, folks will know Aretha is inside the room. Not just because of your presence, but because you bring energy, passion, and unapologetic love for life. You're a hustler. You've carved out success through hard work and just plain smarts. You never wait for permission to go after what you want. And this also extends beyond your career. You're an incredibly intentional and dedicated as a mother, and a wife, friend, daughter, and executive. You always follow through on your word and then go above and beyond what you even said. You're incredibly creative. You turn small, plain things into beautiful art. Creativity is truly at the heart of who you are. Most of all, you're a force of nature. You move through the world with so much love to give and receive, so much determination to win at life, and an unshakable commitment to make life as beautiful and full and meaningful as possible.
Oh, wow. I'm glad she took the time to write that.
I know. I was like, wow. And I can show you. It was like a whole thesis. And then I have one of my friends turned sisters. I asked her also. And she writes, you're a strong, resilient and driven woman, intelligent and determining in all you pursue, a vibrant, social and warm-hearted wife, mother, daughter, sister, colleague and friend. Your purpose fuels your growth and always seeking to evolve. I would say all these really warmed my heart, and I saved my husband's own for the last. And I don't know if I'm allowed to like say everything my husband said, because he started with, you're sexy. And I'm like, ah.
Say it.
Yeah. Do we need to just leave you to it? Or no?
And I'm like, dude, this is a podcast for executives in a corporate setting. And he's like, I don't care. You're my wife and you're sexy. I'm done.
Then you're inhumans. Carry on.
I know. He's like, you're a sexy, elegant, kind woman who is full of life. One thing I like about you is you can't keep things within you. I would always trash the issue. You must speak up or you will break down. Like, I can't keep things within me. I must speak up or I will break down. Therefore, I'm always confident you have nothing against me. You only have love and support and admiration for this family. When you have something against me, I will know, because it will show, because it will break you. I always tell people that when they see you, oh my goodness, they either love you or they don't. There's no in between in your case because of your confidence and what you stand for. After almost 11 years of marriage, I still count myself as one of the luckiest ones, and I wouldn't change anything about you.
Oh, Rita, that's absolutely beautiful.
I must tell you, and I have to be genuine because this is Genuine Humans with you, it felt so good to read that.
Yeah.
Because I live my life every day not expecting people to tell me these things, and thank you for encouraging me to, you know, it's good to ask for feedback. It doesn't always have to be something I need to work on. It also can be something that I'm doing very well.
I feel like everyone should do this as an exercise. It is very, very heartwarming.
I think so. I think it's very good. And I'm going to probably extend it to more friends.
Yeah, absolutely. Just keep going. So here's a good one. What would be the tagline on a poster for a movie about your life?
So I'm going to borrow my mother's nickname for the title poster for my movie. And it's called No Limits Ninja.
No Limit Ninja. I love that.
Okay.
No Limit Ninja. My mom had no limits. And I think that would be the title of a poster to the movie of my life. Like, No Limits. No Limit
it's
Ninja.
Perfect.
Yes.
If you could be remembered for just one thing, what would it be?
That I lived a full life and I loved deeply.
That's a wonderful lovely answer.
I feel like we've covered a lot today. I just want to say thank you for being with us on the podcast. It's been just so joyful. And is there anything we've missed? Or I'm going to let you just have the closing thoughts.
It's just one thing you missed. I wanted you to ask me if I have any regrets so I can say no, none at all.
You've been listening to Genuine Humans, brought to you by Social Element. If you loved what you heard, remember to rate, review, and subscribe.